This is number 3, isn't it?
Is that right?
Golly me. Bless you folks for getting through the morning. That was excellent of you. If I shout over the noise you're making, you might hear me. Is that a hint? Bless you, dear ones. Thank you for listening this morning. We were talking about two kingdoms, living in one, living in the other. Yeah? And what Ginny has done is to put a box at the bottom of our flip chart, in which we thought what we'd do, just to finish off that story, is to write in there the names of the sort of people that the church, or us as Christians rather, should minister to, yes? Pray with, pray about, whatever, Jim. So, I don't know, could you write something in the bottom like the poor? That'll do, yeah? And the sick? Yes? Anybody else?
The homeless.
Farmers. That'll do.
Agri.
Church has a very vibrant ministry to things agricultural these days because of the distress involved. That'll do. Thank you, Jim. Yeah? Now, well, whatever. Yes? Now, I mean, I'm not trying to make a complete list. I'm sorry, madam. I'm just trying to give some examples. Is that right? Because what I wanted to say to you was, you can, in fact, very happily, and most of us do, dwell in the kingdom of self and drop out of the bottom and into that bottom bracket to minister with those people, to pray with those people. Yes? Now, what you find that we'll do it, you see, do you remember the talk this morning, any of you?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Is that one of the main motives for operating in there? It actually is wisdom. It's human wisdom. Yes. So when you find that we drop out of there because we're great Christians and we come into this area at the bottom and we're trying to minister to those people, we major on our wisdom. Yes. And what you find is therefore is that people tend to talk about the things that we do and the way that we do it. Because we develop these things with our wisdom. Yes? Okay. And that amazes you. I belong to an organization which has huge potential called Christian Healing UK, which consists of the leaders of the healing ministry in various organizations. Yeah? And we've been a couple of times here and talked to them and so on. And what you find is that their tendency is to talk about the way they do it. Yes? Yeah. Oh, we do it this way. Yes? Yeah. We have an appointment system. We lay them down on rugs and have hair dryers. Yes? We give them homemade... Do you know what I mean? They have a method of applying ministry. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not going to diss any of that. I don't think there's anything wrong with what... it's not for me to say, is it? Yes? But what I'm saying is they're using their wisdom. They have worked out from whatever source, yes, how they think we should do this under those circumstances. Okay. What, on the other hand, if what I could persuade people to do is to forget that, because God knows what we want, yes? Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all the rest just follows on behind, yeah? You don't have to worry about all that. Then we come across and go upward gravity, yes, into God. So that when we come across the poor or the sick or whoever it was down there, what we tend to say is not get down here and sort it by this method or that method, because that's back here with downward gravity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes? We're over this side saying, how can we work together to help this? What do you want me to do? How can I work with you? What are you going to do that I can catch on to? Yeah? And what you find very, very often, most often, yes, is that if you do it that way, the answer will come out of Scripture. Yes? Which doesn't mean taking people to swimming pools and lying them on lilos and blowing trumpets at them or whatever your method of healing the sick is. Yeah? The anointing with oil. And, yeah? Yes? And all the rest of it. It doesn't actually, I'm not dissing that stuff. I'm just saying that is not the motive right? What you'll find if you do it the kingdom way, yes, is that you'll be called upon to proclaim the good news of the kingdom and get out of the way. Yes?
Yes.
Well, it's a huge difference. Do you know why? It's because the ministry that is applied by the church in all its different varieties that drops out of the bottom of the right-hand kingdom, yeah, the kingdom of self, has got room in it for abuse. Every single one. Yes? Even, dare I say, the sacramental methods. They are doors open for abuse. And in order to cover that up, yes, we have all these organisations got fabulous best practice rules, regulations, boxes you've got to tick, forms you've got to fill in, CRP checks or whatever the modern equivalent is, and all the blah, 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 blah. Yes?
Yeah.
We've all because why? Because we know damn well that the thing is reopen to abuse. And any of us here who have experience of healing ministry can quite happily keep you here all afternoon telling you war stories about how we've been helping to patch up people who are messed up by the healing ministry. Okay? I tell you something, if you come at it out of the other kingdom, you'll come at it the Jesus way. And there's absolutely no space for any abuse at all. Because what you're doing is, you're simply telling people about the kingdom of God and standing back. Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't need all this stuff. I'm sorry, the law might think you do. But you don't need it. Because you're not actually trying to do any... Your method is irrelevant. Yes? Your function in working with Jesus is to do the bits that he can't do. So what you do is you proclaim the Spirit and you let him heal the sick. That's a working partnership. Yeah? Are you with me?
Yeah.
But I tell you something else. Not only does it give you a lot of freedom, because there's no abuse possibilities in that at all. Well, it wouldn't be if it came from Jesus. You can tell the difference. It's his way, therefore they wouldn't. Jesus would not install ministries that had possibilities for abuse, and therefore you have to have all the rules and regulations. Yeah? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I just wanted to say to that to you that if you dropped out the bottom of the self-kingdom into ministry, you'll also find it, you may find it rewarding, but there will be frustrations and failures and all the rest of it. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
But usually there are frustrations and failures because you're measuring them by your own standards, your own wishes, your own measurements, your own views. Yes? Well, wait a minute, I just said your own four times. Do you see what I mean? It's self-purpose, isn't it? If you come at it this way, the only measurement you've got is God's measurement. And you don't know what that is. And actually, what God says is, never mind all that stuff, you just go and teach the kingdom of God, yeah? And leave the rest to me. And you'll come up with something very different, yes? Is that all right?
What about what Jesus says about whatever you do for other people, what you do, not what you say, but what about what you do for other people, you do for me? Where does that come in?
I don't know. I need notice to think about that for you.
Okay.
But I what you do for other people, you do for me, fits exactly what I've just been saying. Because if you work with Jesus, yes?
Yes.
Motivated by what he is going to do and wants to do, what you do, you're actually doing it for him. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any more hands, he doesn't have feet, he doesn't have a mouth, he doesn't have vocal cords anymore. But you do. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So what we... But in fact, deepening what you're saying, madam, is that the more that you are in harmony with Jesus in a particular situation, yes? The more you're in harmony with him, the more likely you are to be doing it for him, with him, what he wants, aren't you? Yes? So, do you see what I mean? If I go into ministry and say, what's wrong with you? Ah, well, you need system 46 or so. Oh, yes. Have I got the safeguards? Yes, that's all in place. Right. Okay, let's pray. Lord, come down here and help us. Yes? I'm operating entirely out of this right-hand column, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yes? But if what I do instead is simply spend, you know, 3-4 times a day just with the Lord under a fig tree somewhere saying, I just want to be with you. Let me work with you today, will you please? Yeah?
Yeah?
Then whatever happens, just go with it and it happens. And you're working with him. See?
Yeah.
Does that answer your question? Okay, folks. Yes? So, but the principle right through the Bible is that of proclamation. Yeah? And I shan't do it this morning because we don't have the time, but I do love to teach on the Battle of Jericho. I like that a lot. Yes? Because it's a perfect example to me of the importance, the position of method in what we're doing in ministering to people. How do we pray for people? What words do we use and so on? Yes?
Yeah.
Because Moses, having got into... Sorry, he's dead, isn't he? Joshua, having got into the Promised Land, then comes across a Jericho. Yes?
Yeah.
And that is... people's lives, we go along quite happily thinking all's right, go around a corner and smack into Jericho's, of one kind or another. Yes?
Yeah.
So what we do is, I do say to people, if Joshua had any sense at all, yes? Mm-hmm. What he'd have done at that point, given that he had no experience of being a general really, did he? Mm-hmm. He'd have got off and gone to General Sandhurst or something, yeah? Mm-hmm. Gone to general school, wouldn't he? Mm-hmm. And he'd met up with another general and said, look, I've got this problem. Right, there's this walled up city, and it's all full of soldiers, a row of spears all around the top, yeah? And I want to know what's the best approach here, yeah? Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of well-accepted ways of doing this. You could build siege forts around it, couldn't you, and starve them out over months, yeah?
Yes.
You could cut down oak trees and have battering rams at the gates and blow them in that way, couldn't you? You could have undermined the walls and let them fall down that way. Yes, they could have done that. Yeah? My favourite idea is that they could have catapulted dead donkeys over the wall into the water supply and they'd have killed off, you mean, poisoned the water wells. Yes? All sorts of ways in which they could have done it. They could have cut out their Wi-Fi connection. They could have hurt them badly. Yes? But he didn't do any of that. He went the other way. He never talked to the other generals. What he did was he went and talked to God. Yes? In other words, he didn't try and develop his own wisdom in the kingdom of self. Yes? He went into the kingdom of God. And he said to God, how do you want to play this? Yeah? God said, get the box, the ark, yes? With the Shekinah running between the cherubim and all this stuff. In there is the Ten Commandments, the Word of God as they knew it, yes?
Yeah.
In there, yeah?
Yeah?
And I want you to march around the place, but just look at the procession a moment, yeah? There was the box being carried by the priests, yeah? Which is you. And in the front of that were trumpeters, yeah? What do trumpeters do?
Proclaim.
Exactly, they herald, don't they?
Yeah.
What does Paul call himself, a herald? Yes? I said that a couple of years ago to an audience. What do trumpeters do? And somebody shouted out, play the trumpet! Yes. Yes? Thinking well, they were. So we've now got... You see what I mean? So he is proclaiming the presence of the living word of God. Is he not? That's what Joshua was doing. Yes? In the face, I have to say, of a lot of mockery, all the professionals, i.e. the soldiers sitting around the walls of Jericho, yes? Mm-hmm. They're all watching this, saying, what is this idiot doing now?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
There's nothing that matches any accepted method of warfare, is there? He's just doing it the way God wanted it, yeah? I wonder if secretly sometimes Joshua thought, I don't know what I'm doing here. Yes? And he went round and round. And he had to persistently pursue this, didn't he? This idea of proclamation. He had to go on and on and on. Eventually the poor old boys in Jericho got ahead of the shot. Yes? You see what I mean? I've no doubt... frankly, that he could have picked any of the methods I mentioned, and he could have won, I've no doubt. Yes?
Yeah.
Couldn't he? He could have brought it down that way. And we know that God wanted Jericho sacked. So, yes, he could have done that. I'm not going to argue the issue. Yes? What I am saying is that story is built around doing it the way that God wanted it done. Yes? It doesn't follow that God always wants it done that way. As far as I know, that method of bringing down city walls was never repeated. Yeah? But if it took the great trick of Christianity, to be honest with you, folks, is to get more and more in tune with what Jesus is doing in the next 10 minutes. Yeah? And it may be totally different than anything you've done before. And that's your risk. Yeah?
Yeah?
And that's... Yeah? Now the other thing that I beg you again to do, folks, is to just keep checking your understanding of God against the scriptures. Yes? Because the whole way the world is moving, the whole way the church has moved over 2,000 years has been to try and get away from that. Yeah? Because our wisdom, not God's wisdom, which is this side, yeah? But our wisdom in the kingdom of self tries to build a picture of God around our experience of life to fit. Yes? We're always remoulding Jesus to fit what's going on in our lives. All the time. Yes? I mean, even in the greatest detail, isn't it? Remember that lady that came to me with a bad shoulder? And she said, "Oh, I think God's punishing me." I said, "Why? What have you done?" She said, "Well, I don't know," she said. "Oh, he's punishing you for something you don't know. He hadn't told you that, no. I wonder if you'd pray for it to get better." So I said, "Well, then you're being disobedient." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because if God's punishing you, you'll take your punishment like a man. Don't come and ask me." What? People are so muddled up. Do you know what I mean? About, because they've been building on, "Oh, well, the Bible says that God disciplines his children." I mean, you've got to keep getting back to Jesus, because Jesus is the perfect, isn't it, image of the invisible God. Yes, you have to keep coming back to Jesus in the scriptures all the time if you want half a clue about God's attitude to anything. Yeah? You've got to keep coming back to Jesus. That's why I keep saying to people, you know, "Oh, dear people, well, I'm ever so old, you know. I expect to go wrong at my age." I love it. I mean, when did Jesus go down a line of lepers asking for birth certificates? "What do you mean 70? You got no chance." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't so... Just a few weeks ago, actually, a lady was seeing me who was in dreadful trouble, and I'm pleased to tell you she's not now. Physical trouble. And she said that she thought she was being punished. Yeah? Because before she became a Christian, she said, "I led such a promiscuous life. I think God is punishing me for it, you know." And I almost giggled, you know, at the thought of Jesus saying to people, "Well, I don't know, you've been putting it about a bit much, really. I don't think I can." Jesus just said, "Yes." Yeah? Do you guys get the grip on grace here? Yeah? He doesn't do this. And so many, over the years, people are like, I don't go to church much anymore. So I doubt if God will help me, you know. I love the lady who sorry, this is a story I tell over and over again, but it's because I enjoy it so much. Of a mother who brought a lady to our office because, a lady, 23, something like that, who was getting married in 6 weeks' time, and no, less than that, about a month's time, and had a head-on collision in a Mini. And she wasn't wearing a seatbelt and smashed both her knees. And so she came in, you know, like this with two walking sticks. Bent over like this with her knees bent. Of course, mother was panicking because the wedding's in 4 weeks. Wow! I mean, you do not want your daughter going down, do you? What? So she came in with her husband and the girl. And she sat there and she, you know... And the husband said to me, the father, I mean, you know, the father, said, "You can have a go if you like, but I don't think you'll get much luck." I said, "Why's that?" And he said, "Well, because she's still got some forgiveness problems from bullying at school." "Well, what's that got to do with it?" "Oh, God won't heal her if she doesn't forgive." "Oh, won't he? You make that judgment for him, have you?" "Oh." So he said, well, you know, God forgives our sins as we forgive the sins of other people. I said, oh, your daughter sinned, is she? No, she's got injured. Oh, yeah, okay. Anyway, mother, I was confused by him, to be honest. Yeah? But I did say, when do you know that Jesus, you know, spoke to a leper and said, I'm afraid I cannot heal you because you haven't forgiven your Aunt Elsie for what she said to you in 1947. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Don't we get so tied up? We determine not to receive grace.
Yes.
And yet it's pouring all the time. Yeah? And I think it's fab. This sort of thing there, people building pictures of Jesus around our own experience. In fact, Jesus never refused to heal anybody. Yeah? He never came up with a master plan which he never told anybody about, and it took months and years, and yeah, we don't ever know if it came to fruition or not. Not Jesus. Yeah? The figments of our imagination. Jesus never said wait, did he?
No.
Yeah? So what we have to remember, chaps and chapesses, yes? Is that if you study Jesus to get your picture of God, which you should do because he's the perfect image of the invisible God, if you do that, you will suddenly see the truth of what I was trying to say last night, believing. Is that creation started with the Garden of Eden in a marvelous condition, yes?
Yeah.
It's going to finish when Jesus comes back in a marvelous condition, the same condition it started with. Jesus came to visit us in the mess. Jesus said yes to everybody who needed it. Restoration. Yes? Therefore, it has to be God's will to heal everybody who comes to Jesus. Now, whoa, people say, but not everybody gets healed. And I say to you, there's a lot of difference between giving something and receiving something. Yes? I often tried to say, I remember praying about this once and having a little picture of my eldest grandson, Tom, yeah, standing by the kitchen window saying, throw me a tennis ball to catch, Grandpa. And I'm lobbing tennis balls at this guy, and he's looking this way at his mum in the kitchen, and he's whizzing past him, and he's saying, Grandpa's not throwing me any tennis balls, Mum. But of course I was. But because, yeah? And I have to tell you, if you're looking at a wonky Jesus, I mean, one who's not reliable, yes?
Mm.
One who does fail, one who comes up with secret plans he doesn't tell anybody about, yes? Mm. And all this sort of stuff. You look in the wrong way, you're never going to catch it. Hmm? Mm. It's all to do, you have to relearn Jesus. And this is why I keep saying to people, it would be so lovely if you could climb across this bridge, this cross, into the kingdom of God, and start being subject to upward activity. Because what upward activity, upward gravity, what it does is, yeah, upward gravity will draw you more into the character of Jesus in the scripture, because that's the one that you are trying to be more in tune with. Yeah?
Yes.
You cannot be more in tune with Jesus. It doesn't work. I've tried it. Standing there, oh, fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let me be filled up with your Holy Spirit. Oh, look out, I'm losing my balance. Yes? Wonderful, I love it. Yes? But it won't make you any more in tune with Jesus. What will make you more in tune with Jesus is getting on your knees and crawling across that bridge. Yeah? Into the kingdom of God and saying, please, raise me up to be more like him. Yeah? Get rid of the things in me that are not him. Because I don't know about you, but I'm still left with a stain in my bloodstream from Adam and Eve. Yeah? Is that right?
Yes.
So what's happened is, on the cross, is that Jesus has... Really, what he did on Calvary was to punch a hole through the curtain between heaven and earth. Yeah? And that grace, the will of God, is actually pouring into the church, into the world, all the time. Yes?
Yeah.
It's only when we start saying, ah, but, what about this? What about this? What about that? What about that? That we start piling up barriers of doubt in front of us to stop the water getting in. Yeah?
Yeah.
Remember all the floods we had a couple of years ago? Putting you know, bags of sand around our doors. And that's what Christians do. Yes?
Yes.
Jesus is very, very clever about this, I thought. Because he said, unless you look at this whole subject like a six-year-old, you'll miss it. Do you remember Jesus saying something like that? Yes? And that's why you'll find if you're praying with people, yes, that actually the easiest people in the world to bring healing to are pagans. They don't have the hang-ups, you see. Yes? After that, the easiest people to pray with are Christians. Yeah? And the worst people are theologians. Because they work it out, you see. Yeah? It's a problem with being intelligent in Christianity. There's a huge problem with it, yes? Is that if you're an intelligent person, you don't accept it unless you can work it out. And that's an awful problem, yeah? Because what I just want children to do is to say, oh, Grace, come and get me. I'm ready. I'll have some of it. Ah, whoosh. Yeah? Just simple childlike acceptance of the glory of God flowing through the world. Yes?
Yes.
I wonder if there's anybody here, be bold, if there's anybody here who's got bad shoulder.
Yes.
I don't mean bad shoulder sometimes or once a week or, well, it was all right 3 days ago. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean now.
Yes.
Stiff things. Yeah? Would you mind coming up here and let me pray with you? What?
Do you want one chair?
How many do you like?
Right, so anybody's got a
solution. But I want to be able to show you how to pray with the shoulders, yes? So please don't come up if you've got a bit of hair loss in 1927. Yes? Is that right?
Yeah.
These are shoulders that are either stiff or painful.
Yes.
Yes? What about necks? Have we got a neck or two?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Because
we do amputation, you see. Yeah. Ginny, where are you?
I'm here.
Can you come tell me what's happening?
Right, okay.
What's happening?
Are we going to gather around?
I want people gathering around. So we could gather around this. Would that be all right?
Oh, just make a circle.
Yeah. How many have we got?
We've got four.
Only four?
Yeah.
What a healthy lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I have some more necks. Necks are in trouble now, yes? It's not going to be easy for me if you have a neck difficulty, but only at Christmas when you're drunk too much.
I'm going to move this back.
Yeah? Is that all right? Have we got a number now, Jim?
Yeah.
Can we go around and have a look at them?
Yes.
Will the rest of you please watch and listen?
Yes.
Please? Right, where's the first one?
Yeah.
Where's the first? Gosh, yeah. Big circle. Which shoulder is it?
Mine's a neck.
You're a neck person.
Yes, I'm a
What's
neck
wrong
person.
With it?
It's just very, very stiff and clicky.
Could you move it for me to the extremity that's easy? Don't hurt, for goodness sake.
Right, the other way?
On the other way?
Not smaller because you're moving your body.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that right?
Yeah.
So we know now. Does that hurt when you move it, or just stiff and clunchy?
It's stiff and it does hurt if I try and go too far.
Oh, don't do that. Okay, lovely. That's a neck. What have we got next?
This way.
Oh, right.
Another neck.
Another neck. Can you... What, is this just sort of like me? A bit old and arthritic?
It's arthritis, yes.
Okay, right.
I had two discs replaced.
It's just that there are some countries we go to and it's all sports injuries.
Right.
It will be in Australia, won't it?
Yeah.
In South Africa, it's always knees from cycling. It's all sports injuries, yeah?
Right.
And you go to the very north of Scotland, everybody's got depression.
Yeah.
Because there's no daylight.
No,
you go to Glasgow, it's all knife wounds.
Yeah.
Anyway, bless you, sister. You're there.
Okay. Yes.
What can't you do? Can you demonstrate to us?
At the moment, I can move it fairly well, but it hurts when I do it. I take painkillers all the time.
Yeah, but right now, what?
Right now, I can move it that far.
You're perfectly all right.
Not very far. No.
Okay, what have we got next? Who's next? Here we are.
I'm a right shoulder.
You're a right shoulder. That's this one.
Yeah.
What's the matter with it?
Well, I don't know, really, but it's just very painful.
What is paint? I mean, don't pain, but...
Can you lift your arm at all?
I can lift my arm, but it hurts.
It hurts.
And it hurts just with pressure on it as well. Mm-hmm.
Just anyway hurts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the mobility is all right?
Not really.
No.
Why not really? And what's she doing?
About there.
Oh, only about there? Yeah. What happens after that? Don't do it, but what would happen?
It's painful.
It just gets... It's
I can make it move.
Yeah, but it's not worth the bother because it hurts too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sister. Bless you. What else have we got? Is that it?
I've got two frozen shoulders.
Two shoulders?
Yeah.
That's about maximum.
Yes.
Bless you. What does that mean in a physical effect about being able to move?
I can't get my hands behind my back. And I can only get them up to about shoulder height without being in pain.
Do you remember that we were praying with that lady in Houston, Texas? And she couldn't. She said, I can't undo my bra. But since you prayed, I can. My husband won't forgive you. So neither of them will do that. Really? But is this alright?
No, I can't get that high up.
You won't?
No.
So you
no, just shoulder.
And we can see this, can we? We can see this.
Yeah.
Lovely, fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Who have we got now?
Mm.
What are we, a neck or a shoulder?
Neck, shoulder.
You can be both, it's okay.
Back as well. I had some cracked nose in my back.
Oh.
And I think with pain, cured the nose, but about 3 years.
So,
I didn't realise, but I'm sure not.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
And I've got two vertebrae in my neck.
Right, so how much can you move your neck?
Without? The chiropractor needs loosened it up quite a lot.
Okay, so.
People walking, and just can't talk.
What about your shoulders now? How much can you move those, your arms?
That one's painful.
Okay.
Having trouble holding a head up as well.
Yeah,
and when, fine. And when your back, does it restrict your movement, bending over or anything like that?
No.
You can touch your toes?
Well,
that looks like more than I can. But that's for
different reasons.
Yeah.
I think in the summer I had a fall in my arm, and I was doing well. And I'm wondering whether it's made worse by the fall.
Bless you, sister. Is that it?
No.
Oh, go on. Just one more?
Too far. No. Too far.
Ah, bless you.
The neck.
Hey, yeah. What a neck.
I think it's a sports injury when I was about 17. And
show off.
And
yes.
The whole of that.
It just suddenly went.
But I think they've said it's spondylitis in my neck now. I'm getting that kind of.
Well, you can get rusty through injury, can't you, eventually? Yeah. Mm. So is it hard to move it? Is that a problem?
I can't move it very far. I used to be able to touch my shoulder with my chin. I can move, I can circulate it round, but can't touch it.
Yeah.
Sometimes my head is so heavy, but that hasn't happened for a long time.
Perhaps your brain's shrinking with all that. bless it. Bless it. Another one, yes. You've got lots.
Yeah. Neck for me, mainly,
yes.
But also shoulder. Carry bags, carry scales at work, think a posture maybe at work. It's painful and it comes to do with headache.
What's the mobility like on the shoulder?
Not bad. It just
okay.
Always feels tense and achy.
Okay.
And
okay.
And it's sort of last month
okay.
I've noticed it.
And the neck mobility?
I can move it, but it's I can feel like the cracking movement sometimes in my neck.
Does it hurt?
Yes, it hurts. Okay. It's not too bad, but I've just noticed that the last month I'm getting this and it's.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit worse.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Another one.
Yeah.
One more. Is that one more?
This is a sports injury.
You're the last.
It is a sports injury.
Oh, you might know you're not.
Sorry. Playing cricket, I was bowling and pulled something in my right shoulder.
Hmm.
It's never healed. Mm. It makes my fingers go numb, and so I stretch it out. And that's gone into my neck as well. I get problems in my neck. Just grinding and things.
How much can you move it now without?
Oh, I can move it. It's fine. It's just it's painful.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Right. Okay, folks. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, lovely. Shall we have a pray? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
So
I'm just trying to put people in there.
That's fine. I'm not going to repeat this over and over again to all of you. We just have prayer with all of us together.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? We're all of us going to go in through the door into the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So just, I don't want you to do anything. Yes? I'm not going to come and throw oil at you or anything awful like that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I am just going to pray.
Right.
Yes?
Right.
But because I'm going in that kingdom with upward gravity, yes, I'm actually just going to worship. Is that right?
Yes.
And I just want you to stand there and enjoy yourselves and let happen whatever happens to you. Is that okay? Right? And then what we'll do is come around and ask you how you're feeling. Right?
Okay.
Oh, is the audience all right? Or are they?
Thank you.
Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus after us. Thank you that healing belongs to these dear ones because of what Jesus has done. It belongs to them because of what Jesus has done. Not because of what they've done or haven't done, but because of what Jesus has done. Jesus has taken all our pain, carried all our sickness. By his wounds we're healed. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you, Jesus, that you come to live in our mess. You have come to open the gate for us. You have shown us God's will, that everybody who comes to Jesus should be healed. Bless you, Jesus, for grace. Jesus has taken all our pain, carried all our sickness. By his wounds we're healed. Thank you, Jesus, for grace. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You have said that it's thank offerings that honor you and prepare the way for you to show us your salvation, the work of the cross. But we don't do it for that reason. We do it to give glory to you. We honour you. Your kingdom come. We honour you. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for grace. Hallelujah. Thank you for grace. Bless you, Lord. I want to stop there a minute. Yes? Could you just test your bits for me that we talked about before and let me know if anything's changed?
Heavy.
You could. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Okay, you feel quite heavy.
Yeah.
What about arms and necks?
A bit looser.
Yes.
A bit looser?
Yes.
You're a bit looser?
Yeah.
Where you lifted your
feel
warmth,
yeah.
Back of my head.
Oh, that's good. Oh, I like that sign. There's warmth, yeah?
Behind the back of it as well,
Sorry, can you say it again?
My hands can go behind my back a bit as well.
Could you give a bit more movement there in your arms?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
My head was still and I could hear crunching. Mm-hmm. I could hear the bones crunching when it was just not moving.
Was it free? It looks a little. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, it crunches like glass normally.
Yeah.
It's still there, but it's nothing like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody happy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, should we go on?
Yeah.
More?
Yes.
More. Father, Jesus has said, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's your good pleasure to give it to us. Wow.
Mm.
Jesus, we bless your name in this place because you have taken all our pain. You have carried all our sickness. And because it's by what you did on Calvary that we get healed. I bless you, Father, because in the moment of Jesus' death, that sea, that sparkling sea before the throne of grace, began to flow. And it began to flow down the middle of the street in heaven, underneath the tree with the leaves for the healing of the nations, back through that torn curtain, into this world, into this country, into this hall. And it's because of Jesus. I bless you that out of his wounds comes blood and water. Blood that washes us clean in your presence, and water which is that river of life pounding down the street in heaven to get to the world. And it's because of Jesus. I bless you, Father, that Jesus has taken all our pain, carried all our sickness. It's by his wounds we're healed. Hallowed be your name. Praise you, Father. Bless you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Can we try again? Anybody do some testing? Arms and necks?
Oh, you can touch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really getting good, isn't it? Isn't it?
You're
clear.
That's true. Still clicking. Still clicking. Yeah, it is really moving.
I can move that side very well.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite so well, but yeah. Much better than
Awesome. One side's better, the other's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, super. Yeah?
Yeah.
Anybody else want to make a comment?
I feel like I've been like, his posture has been like stretched back to, really, I feel really upright and relaxed in my shoulders.
Does she look any different, Jo? Is that visible, or was she just feeling it?
Well, she didn't look too bad in the first place.
Oh, you've just been graceful.
No.
No.
You free?
It feels fair.
There was warmth on the back of the neck.
Actually, you can see it quite clearly from here.
Okay. Sorry?
You can see it clear.
Quite clearly from here. I'm just in the line. She's straightened up.
She's straightened up. Yeah?
This lady has remarkably straightened up. Mary, do you feel straightened?
Yeah, I can't sort of stand right now, but once I start walking, it hurts in my head. I can't hold my head up. So that's really, it's when I'm mobile, it kicks in.
It's getting better, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the thing, Mary, though, isn't it? Shall I try again? You all right to stand there for a little bit longer?
Yes.
Yeah? Arms all right, are they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody waving painlessly? You have to be able to do this in church without it hurting. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, hallowed be your name. May your name be glorified in this room. May everyone sitting here, as well as standing here, glorify your name. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that because of the work of Jesus, and through that effort of Jesus's, you can now draw us close in the kingdom. You can now hide us in God with Christ. You can now pour healing into our lives because Jesus has taken all our pain and carried all our sickness, griefs and sorrows. And by his wounds we're healed. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for grace. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you that you showed this river of life that's pouring out of heaven. You showed this to the prophet Ezekiel. And you made him go in it ankle deep, and then further down he was knee deep, and further down it was waist deep, and then he had to swim in it because it was so abundant and so huge. And it was the same river
flowing under the trees with leaves for the healing of the nations. And where it flowed into the salt sea, it made everything fresh, and everything that went there lived. So I bless you, Jesus, that we can stand and soak in this. Bless you for the abundance of your grace. I was very moved in the Niagara Falls, wasn't I? When that water coming over the lip of those falls is 3 meters thick. And the roar of it, you can hear for miles. And they said to us, and they don't turn it off when the tourists go home. And that is such the joy of heaven, yes? That amount of grace is pouring through here all the time, yeah? So I thank you, Jesus, that you have made us worthy to be soaked. You have made us worthy to be drunk on grace. You have made us worthy to be filled inside and out, every muscle, every bone, with your will to restore creation. You've done this. So glory and thanksgiving to you, Jesus, because you've taken all our pain. You've carried all our sickness. It's by your wounds we are healed. Thank you for grace, Jesus. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in these dear ones like it is upstairs. And I know what your will is because I read your book. Bless you, Jesus, for grace. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Where are we getting now? Anybody like to comment?
Relaxed.
Much freer.
Yeah. Much freer?
Yeah.
Yes, much better. I've got arthritis in my hands, and my hands are pain-free.
Pain-free and hands? Yeah. Oh, nice.
Wow.
We'll have to include hands next time.
Yeah.
There's no grinding in my neck.
No grinding
there's
now?
There's just a sense of a stretch. There's
okay.
A crunch, but it's nothing like grinding.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm getting my shoulder up a bit. But it's just
certain thing, if I pick anything,
I just
have to leave it. I can't reach it up.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm
shouting.
Who
knows? Yeah.
Mm.
Who knows what'll happen next time?
Thank you, Jesus.
He's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, I thank you for the demonstration of your grace. Lord, I have to apologize because I have other things I've got to speak about this afternoon. I cannot spend all day just praying with these two. These lot round here. Yes? I expect. Grace is grace, isn't it? So, Father, we invite you to continue flowing this afternoon through everyone in this circle. Yes?
Everyone in this room.
Well, I'm just wondering, has anybody else in the room been touched by this?
Yes.
In some way? Do you want to share that?
Well, for myself, I didn't feel my neck was bad enough to come and stand in the
right.
circle. But, you know, this is great. I can move and look round over my shoulder, and that's really good. And I could just feel that healing warmth going through me as you were speaking.
Oh, lovely. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Is there another one?
Yes, me. I've been miserable for about 4 years now with stiffness and family of stings in my head, neck, my back, my legs. And,
yeah. Thank you, Father. I bless you then, and we were just suggesting, Lord, that it might be terrific if you would continue to flow through these dear ones during the course of the rest of the day and building and strengthening, yeah,
and continue with your work so that we will all wake tomorrow rejoicing in knowing you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you for... Shall I go back where I was? Oh, well. Bless you, people. I was told that lunch was at 1 o'clock and my watch says it's 1:02. So, what? God is a... God.
Could you finish that story?
What story is that?
About the knees. The girl with the knees.
Did I finish it?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Apparently I was telling the story about the girl who came to visit me and her father had said that God probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I could go if I liked, but yeah. Mum, that's where I got to, wasn't it? Mum just sat there in silence with a silly grin on her face because she knows, you know, that we talk kingdom here. Yes? And the girl then said, well, I don't think your God's going to touch me anyway because I don't believe in him. I think it's a load of nonsense. I'm going to come here because my mum's so stressed out about the wedding. Yeah, five. That's another five of the churches made today. Whoa! But, dear folks, I must tell you, I said, well, come on, we'll pray anyway, yes?
Yeah.
And we didn't pray any more than we've just done, any less than we've just done, yes? Mm-hmm. Just Thanksgiving, really. That's all it is. Thanksgiving. Do you see what I mean there about methods? Any of you involved in ministry? Yeah? What method did you see? None at all. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Say thank you and get out of the way. Yes?
Yes.
And would you believe it? She was running around our conference room in about 20 minutes.
Really?
Oh. So she got married upright, which is rather nice.
Bless you, Lord.